New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1059, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, our managing editor downtown, Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Derek is out this week. If you've been listening to the show, you know he's out on this big listening tour, previewing his album, stuff like that. Again, DerekMenor.com. Check out when he's coming to a city near you. So he's not here this week. Emily's filling in. And joining us from Austin, Texas, author, speaker, podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I do need to give a little note to the listeners. If Jesse sounds different today, it's because he's recording at a different location, does not have a mic stand, and he's holding it like he's a 1980s stand-up comic. So he might do that whole like Chappelle thing.
I'm a professional. I'll keep it in only if I'm really going off on a tangent here. I showed them. I didn't think this was going to be an issue because I have my home office. I have an office that I work out of every day, and I grab some gear, including the microphone.
Problems.
I realize as
what
I said.
What about your Hamptons office? Do you have? I'm sorry.
Well, that's being renovated right now.
Gotcha. So, yeah, obviously.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's the season starts soon, the shore season. So, but either way, I have a collection of mic stands here. I literally counted for like six. And not one of them fit the mic that I grabbed for today's recording. But I will try my best. I do have a ring light, if that helps with the visuals.
You look fantastic. Well, I know that this show is, you know, Jason's going to be pulling some video clips to throw on social media. So I just wanted to give some context for first-time people who are going to be seeing your face, that it's not Jesse's normal setup to be doing a stand-up comedy type bit.
Listen, I'm holding it low enough that the average listener won't know. You know?
I'm worried about how your arms are going to feel after we finish recording these. Because also,
I've been watching enough Survivor lately that, like, I know the challenges.
How long can you hold a mic stand?
How long can you hold it? And like, the timer's like 45 minutes in. Jesse's sweating. The mic's shaking. You know,
I've been doing a lot of shake weight exercises and really toned up. I've been doing. I want to start my own Peloton for shake weight.
Bring it back,
jump
man.
On. Well, right, jump on. All right, everyone. Then I make a little J. Cole mix. All right, let's do it, everyone. Good morning. Who's on board with me?
Whatever happened to like the Suzanne Summers, like Thigh Master and the Shake Weight? And what, you don't see these things anymore. Bring it back.
I think really for a good reason. I don't feel like it's like a sustaining like way to live your life. Like Thigh Master, that feels like it. Yeah.
Jamie, you have not taken a look at my thighs, but they were sculpted by Suzanne Summers. Speak for yourself.
Well, stand up, Cameron. Jason's going to make a video.
All those companies missed a huge opportunity during COVID. Okay.
Right.
I know the barrier of entry of like a Nordic thing or like a Peloton or one of those like mirror
thousands
things.
Of dollars.
Yeah. Like, I don't have the time.
Dollars. Yeah, and then like $65 subscription. You know what I mean? Where is like just like the Richard Simmons
for real?
You know, deal of COVID. You know what I mean?
Thinking about COVID, why didn't the Flowbe come back? Like people are at home, stuck at home, giving their own haircuts with the Flowbe machine.
I forgot about that. Like,
there was a lot of missed COVID opportunities, you know?
The 1980s could have come back gloriously during COVID, you know?
We needed like, our generation, Suzanne Summers, because we talked about this recently, but some of those infomercials are pretty compelling. Like all I need to have that body is this shake weight. I mean, look how hard this guy's struggling. And he looks like he came off the set of like an Avengers movie here.
Do you remember the really, really muscular guy with the long hair? And he would like, he had
Fabio?
This like twisting. No.
The gazelle guy.
Like he had like a twisting
Tony
machine.
Gazelle.
Yeah. Like that. We could have had a whole
you,
gym.
You like stand on like a board and it twists or something.
Yeah,
like that?
And it twists. And he would talk about his core strength and stuff. And the guy is built like an ox. I mean, he's like so huge. And he's acting like he got his physique by twisting. Like,
right.
Like, you don't know. Maybe he did.
I was going to say, do we need a machine? Can't we just stand up in our offices and our bedrooms and just twist? I mean, come on.
And imagine you have like a shake weight in your hand. You could get like.
That's what I'm saying. He probably had shake weights going for the shoulders and arms. He probably was doing some squeezing. in some Suzanne Thumbers for those thunder thighs that he had. And he was like twisting in the middle. He had a whole gym going on.
For I think Suzanne Thumbers, first of all, would be offended by you continuing to say thunder thighs. I'm just going to say on behalf of Suzanne Thumbers.
You did
Thumbers.
Say Thumbers earlier because you combined thighs and Thumbers.
Dude, she's like 80 and she looks great. Or you know, last time I saw her.
It worked.
She is the thigh master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all that to say, Jesse has a mic in his hand and he's going to get trembly in about 30 minutes.
I've been training all since the pandemic for this.
Actually, a shake weight mic.
I'm going to fitness for podcasters. You know, today put some weights on your mic and hold them. You know, next time I'm going to have like over ear headphones that are weighted to get through a little neck strength. You know, the possibilities are endless. I do want to pivot to another quick fitness. Another activity related topic. We're coming off Masters weekend. Did you guys watch the Masters? Like, I feel like it's one of the things where even if you don't care about golf, what was your take, Jamie?
My take was I fell asleep on Friday watching it. You know, that's what the Masters does. You can take a good nap.
Perfect nap.
And you wake up and nothing has really happened. You're like, still the same. I don't know a lot about the Masters, but a friend was over at my house on Sunday giving me the lowdown about the two different areas with how some people went over to play for a Saudi team. So I don't even know what's going on except for it's a lot. And I liked it.
It's a lot, but my son got really into it. And so I'm going to be, the day we're recording this, I'm taking him to like a local public golf course. He's on spring break and he's 10 years
First
old.
First world problems.
Yeah.
It's not
a country club. Like, as I said, it's a public golf course. You can go out there with no shirt. No one's going to say anything. When I say goat patch, I am literally talking, it wouldn't shock me if there was goats walking around out there. You know what I mean? It's like $9. It's like a dollar a hole. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay. Never mind. Yeah. That's not a country club. Yeah.
Yeah. But there is a clubhouse, but like secondhand stuff at the pro shop, and then like a bunch of old guys screaming, playing dominoes, drinking Mick Ultras is the scene there. I'm taking him. When's that? Do you guys play golf ever? It's a very intimidating thing to take someone to.
I played golf when I was younger with my dad because my dad is a golfer, and then I take my kids to Top Golf and think I'm like on the ladies PGA tour, but.
The thing about playing golf is you have to have golf clubs, and golf clubs are like $500.
It's a real rent
them. Like, you can rent them at the pro shop.
Yeah, I know, but like, yeah, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that.
But either way, there's so much decorum in the sport. And, you know, as
Except
I was watching
where you're going, where because they, you can walk around with your shirt off and ride a goat.
Yeah, it's very true. It's one of America's last great true public golf courses. You walk on. You don't even make a tee time. You just kind of wander on.
You wander on. You got to wrestle the guy who's hogging the hole. You got to like wrestle him out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. But even at those, the marshals, like the old guys who like patrol the course, it's very strict. Right. Like even watching the Masters, there's all this decor. You know, at the Masters, when you go, you can't have a cell phone. You have to has to go into a locker. It's very serious. There's a dress code. You know, you're not allowed to sit at the Masters, like on the ground. Like you have to have one of their designated chairs or you stand because they don't want people laying around on TV. Every course is like this. And to your point, Jamie, there is like a break off league to try to make golf a little looser, but it's got some considerable amount of controversy because it's being backed by the Saudi royal family and some sketchiness behind the scenes. I want to see a loosened up version of golf, right? Like Top Golf is kind of circling it, but something where like one, there's no marshals. There's no fun police going around all day yelling at you for pace of play or driving your golf cart on the green. Lay off, old man. I paid $9 for this. Okay. I want a golf course where Emily, to your point, it combines a little fun of putt-putt, like, I want on the middle of the fairway, old grandfather clocks and like china cabinets.
Like some obstacles.
Like, Yeah. Well, that you're no targets. I'm talking targets. Like, what can be more satisfying than hitting a giant grandfather clock with like as hard as you can with a golf ball? Or like one, instead of a putting green, there's no flag. It's not the goal is to get it a hole. It's to take out the sweetest piece of china in that cabinet. You just hit that thing point blank. Let's do what everyone's always wanted to do with golf balls and just nail them into random breakable things. If that was a golf course near me, I'd go all the time.
This sounds like a fraternity's fundraiser event. Like a fraternity's putting together a fundraiser event. Yep. They're like, golf with the frat boys, and this is what you get.
I like it.
One hole would be nothing but porcelain toilets out there. Like, it's like I'm gonna destroy one of those.
Because there's no rules, no marshal, no fun police. You can also relieve yourself.
Take a break.
When you're done with the hole.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. You know. I mean that's apparent. And if you're
are relieving yourself, somebody else is gonna be targeting you.
You're a target.
The guy behind you. Yeah. But
one hole would have like a bunch of like you know those like suits that the people that train like Kate dogs, like like you know what I'm saying? Like they get the big thing on the arm, it's all padded up, right?
Yeah.
Or like Hurt Locker suits where it's like you're in the bump. One hole is you put that on, you just run around out there and let other people hit balls at you.
And if you can hit the guy, that's 10 points. Yeah, I like
that.
That's
a real Masters. Anyone can hit a standard, a hole that doesn't move. That's got a flag sticking out. I got some lunatic that just got off the toilet in a Hurt Locker suit hiding behind a grandfather clock. Now that's a Master. Takes a Master to hit that guy.
Yeah, Liv got it all wrong, man. Liv tour should have reinvented the game when they had the opportunity. I know.
Sponsors are going to be coming out of the gate to sponsor this event.
It's all toilet companies.
And bubble wrap companies and padding companies. Yeah.
Grandfather clock companies. All right. They're thriving right now.
I was going to say, do any exist? I was literally going to say,
they're on the comeback.
Can you buy a grandfather clock anywhere?
I got Collier Toilets and I got Clockmaster Ancient Clock Repair Shop. So sponsors are rolling in right now.
Okay, real. If you wanted to buy a grandfather clock, because I remember when I was a little kid, there was like a clock store in the mall and like a piano store. There'd be a clock store. The old people would buy their grandfather clocks there. I'm very old. but like, if you wanted to buy a grandfather clock right now, what are your options? I don't think you could.
I just looked up and there is Meguiar's Clocks in Austin. You could go buy a grandfather clock there.
There it is.
Maybe there is a store here.
I feel like there's got to be, like specialty stores or like antique stores. Like that's going to be...
Okay, what is the weirdest specialty store that you have in your town? Because I have one that is a mile from my house and it is a flag store. All they sell is flags. How? Are they in business?
Listen, I know a guy, this is real talk, okay? Now that you mention it, that started a flag business, okay? Like, and he sold it and made a fortune. Because a lot of people either, like, if you're opening a business or something, a lot of people want that American flag. And then you could order your own flags. The flag business is booming, man. Like, people want flags, okay? Car dealerships, they need like 12 right on the road.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. You're right.
Okay. Where they got to get them from somewhere.
Yeah, where are you going to get them from? I guess the flag world down there in Colonial Drive. Yeah,
we have two or three old English stores in my city, and I do not know why. It's like...
What is an old Touch English store?
Tea? What do they sell?
Like stuff with like the Union Jack on it, like old English costumes and stuff, like British, just British themed stuff. But two or three of these stores.
You live by a military base. The town there was established to fight those people.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, is there's a lot of Europeans because of NATO. There's a big NATO presence here. I've talked about this before. But it's not like the British people are going in and buying fake Union Jack stuff sold in America. They get the real stuff over here.
Yeah,
I don't know who's shopping at these places.
That is weird. That is weird.
We have a store in Austin where you can go buy rocks. Not rocks for your yard. Like a rock that you would, that looks
like crystals.
I guess it's just Austin rocks. That's weird to me. I don't know what we're doing here.
Well, you know what they did? They came up with the name first, Austin Rocks. That'd be funny if it was the name of a rock store.
Yeah. Or like selling guitars. Now they're selling rocks.
Rock memorabilia. Yeah.
They opened it on a joke.
But is it, is it like decorative rocks, or are they the ones that, like I said, are like the crystals?
Is it like kind of like hippie dippies? Like the rocks where they cut it in half at the Science Center gift shop and it's like purple crystals on the inside, but it's a rock on the outside?
I forget
what those are called.
Oh, just kidding, guys. We do have a rock store on I-35, okay? Emily, I think you might have passed it when you were here.
I was going to say, you said it. I know what it is.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. But this store, Austin Rocks, is like a boutique. But there is a rock store on I-35 right by that HEB, you guys.
In a lawsuit right now with Austin Rocks. We're stealing the name. Yeah.
I think the most specific store I ever saw was in Nacogdoches. There was a store. They only sold Coca-Cola memorabilia. And they just had everything, like bottles. They had books about it. They had like stuff you could put on your walls. It was all just Coca-Cola stuff. And I do think it is gone now because the owner passed away. But I always wondered how it was open, because I was like, who, one, is buying Coca-Cola memorabilia? And like, why are you doing that? And also, where did you get all this from? Like, that's what was really impressive, was like, do you have like an inside man at the Coca-Cola factory? And it was like antique stuff. So I don't know if he was buying it on eBay and then reselling. I don't know. I had so many questions. It kind of scared me because it was literally just Coca-Cola and I didn't understand how he had the building.
When you see one of those, whether it's a Coke memorabilia store, a rock store off the highway, or you're just banking on someone's going to the mall to get a new pair of like blue jean sneakers and a grandfather clock, like what percentage in your mind are that's money laundering operation?
100%. Like,
that is
90% at least. Yes.
Like the little mattress stores that have never have a car in their parking lot, and there's 8 of them within 3 miles of each other. Like, who's going into those mattress stores?
Yeah.
I mean, How many
mattresses are you selling in a day? What's going on?
Right.
Yeah. How many people are buying mattresses every day for you to...
Right. And to need one a block away and another one half a mile away. And it's like, there's not that much of a mattress demand.
How many mattresses would you buy in your lifetime? And then how many people live? There's too many mattresses available.
I will say this about the mattress thing. I listened to an episode of Freakonomics. I don't know if you guys ever listened. It's a great podcast, and book, Stephen Dubner. But they actually did an episode about the mattress store thing. Ooh. And what they found is that they're all actually owned by the same people. They're different storefronts, but they have enough consumer research that tells them that people check out like 3 or 4 mattresses before they make... Because mattresses, again, this is... I didn't think we'd be doing mattress talk today, but here we are. People usually buy mattresses at critical junctures of their life where they're making a lot of major decisions. So it's usually when they buy a house, when they get married, or when they get divorced. Those are or moving, marriage, divorces are the 3 major times that people buy mattresses.
Those are the 3 times that I have bought a mattress.
Well, the mattress industry knows that. And they know that at those junctures, people think critically about every decision because it's a very stressful time. And what they do, the psychology of the customer is that they are going to check different options, that people are pretty thin on those 3 times. So they're going to hunt out the best deal. So what they do is they buy stores right around each other, give them different names, but they're all actually the same people.
This is brilliant.
They're actually the same people. So when you're shopping store to store, the reason they're in close proximity, because the same companies own them. And they're just meeting the consumer psychology, knowing that it's cheaper for us to have 3 stores that we know they're going to go to than have one big mattress store. And then they're just going to drive across town to price check us at a different one. We'll just keep them all close.
So it's like the glasses industry. Like every glasses brand is owned by the same company and store too. So like Eyeglass World and all of Lens Crafters, they're all the same company. And all the frames, even though they have the different brand names, they're all made by the same company and they just license the different names. So all the glasses at Eyeglass World are the same as all the glasses at Lens Crafters.
Exactly.
And it's all one huge company. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the same. They also reveal that most of those mattress stores are actually fronts for a giant meth operation out of Albuquerque. So that was a big revelation too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how Freakonomics ended. But you had to listen to it.
Exactly. Twist. Big twist. They gotta launder that super lab.
Speaking of big twists, we actually have substance and good content on the show coming up.
But this has been great, Cameron. Everyone knows now. Your mattress, you can buy a mattress, you can sleep well at night knowing you only went to one store, actually, when you thought you were getting 3 different deals.
but I still don't know where to buy a Thighmaster or a grandfather clock. So
that's true.
You know. Okay, well, Leland joins us. Man, Leland, he's a OG in the worship scene. He joins us coming up later. And at the end of the show, we have your feedback. But stay tuned up next. It's Relevant Buzz. Playing hands, heavy heart. We gon' see a levy part. Kingdom gon' see turnover like whenever a Chevy start. They gon' see them Kevin Gates. We pray for all them Kevin Hearts. Kevin gon' see turnover like whenever a Chevy start. Lead them out the CDC and keep them off of EBT. Serving who created me. My lifestyle been on creatine. If I'm wearing black shades, this not fashion anything. Lighthouse of the temple, I protect. Seen too many things. W's all of my charts. I gave up my heart, the spirit of W's all of my start, the spirit of spark. I'm winning the rings all over the things, the spirit of team. I'm winning the tell me what good is a dream. Can't follow the king, industry I'm a daddy's child, so filled with light, you cannot take that. I'm a mama's child, I can't back down, I'd rather face plant. Hard to face facts, but Jesus took. You're listening to YB. The song is Praying Hands.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right. Bringing us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week. Tell us what's going on, Emily.
Okay, the first thing I want to talk about is Chris Pratt, who has been doing some press rounds for his Super Mario Brothers movie. He was recently on the Drew Barrymore.
Very, very Italian Chris Pratt. We need to, everybody to.
Yeah, yes, native Italian. Very Italian. Famously native Italian.
Famous Chris Italian Chris Pratt. Yeah.
He has been doing some interviews, and he was on the Drew Barrymore show. And he, first off, the Drew Barrymore show is wild because she just talks about the most random things. And so they ended up talking about how
she gets people to say stuff on that show that, like, I don't think the publicist signed off on.
Ooh, I like that.
Absolutely not. Yeah. It is like full therapy sometimes. It's insane. Yeah. I love Drew. So she got him to open up about how he met his wife, Katherine Schwarzenegger, at church. And he talked about how he was actually in kind of a really difficult season of life when they met, and he was really struggling and broken. And so he was attending church, of course. That's what a lot of people do when they're struggling with things.
Struggling and broken. Yeah.
Struggling and broken. And he said he was, you know, there to just like learn more about God, like get closer and stuff. And he said he was sitting on the front row of church, and he started staring at Katherine Schwarzenegger, and he even
not
said,
in a
like,
weird way.
Not in a weird way. Not in a weird way. In like a sweet, the way romantic
you
way.
Said it was like he's there, like staring at her. Staring that's kind of
well. He admitted he was like he tried not to. He said, you know, you don't want to be that guy who's like, whoa, who's that church? Like that's not why you're there. But they just ended up talking, and they got to know each other, and after a few months, started dating and got married. And that really is just, you know, the dream for every Christian single everywhere is that you meet your future spouse at church. So this is a quote he said, it all made sense. You know, when you're doing a puzzle and there's a piece and you're like, I'm certain that's the piece. And then you jam it and it looks like it should be the piece. But then you're like, oh, it's that one. It just fits together. You're like, oh, it fits because it was the piece that was made to fit there. And that's what it felt like.
Emily, did he discuss what happens if you lose a piece out of your puzzle box and you never find it again and you can never finish your puzzle and you die very, very alone?
You need to go buy a mattress is what solve that problem is a mattress.
I don't know if that interview is going to solve any of that. I do like the scenario that if they hadn't have been at church sitting in close proximity to each other on the same Sunday. Yeah. I like the idea that they both would have gone to like the church singles event where it's like a little like the pastor makes a big pot of chili, get all the singles together for an icebreaker. You know, maybe, you know, you got the name tags. It says Chris P, you know, and then they all settle in for, you know, God's Not Dead viewing and, you know, and they just have a nice little wholesome chit chat. I would have loved if they would have met at one of the singles events.
That would have been awesome. Not
just, maybe they did. Yeah. And he made up this story to kind of make
it's less creepy.
As if he's going to a singles event.
Do you think that would have been the all-time peak of church singles events.
100%.
It introduced Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger, like this Hollywood power couple, met at, you know, a bowling night for like Zoe Church with just the other singles, you know? I would have loved that.
I love it. But I would like to say my husband and I met at church as well. And his part of his story when he tells it is that he was that teenage boy, like staring at the girl that came into church, which thankfully it was me. But yes, that's how we met.
Were you staring back at him or were you?
No, I didn't
him?
Love Jesus. I was just going because my parents made me. And, you know, I think I clearly looked like I was out of place.
I remember, though, when I was at an age where people would talk about, you know, romantic connections at church. And it was like, oh, I can't believe this. Some people are just coming here to meet a woman or meet a guy. And it's like, well, where do you want them to go?
Exactly.
Like, you're going to judge them if they meet them out all at the bar or a party or an app or something. What is wrong with going to church with hoping to meet someone with similar values? Why are people throwing shade at that? You know, it's perfectly fine.
Just own it, Chris P.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on?
Last week, there was some news that came out about the new live action Little Mermaid. And the songwriters, Alan Menken and Lin-Manuel Miranda, shared that they would be updating the lyrics to emphasize consent on some of the older songs.
Because if you think about some of these songs in Little Mermaid, it's actually pretty creepy. And on one hand, when we heard this news, we kind of rolled our eyes like, all right, we don't need to.
But what are they? Yeah.
So one of the songs is Kiss the Girl. Yeah.
You gotta kiss. I love that song. Okay. Well, how is it so terrible?
Okay. Jason, listen to this Jason. Part with an open mind, open ears. Just play it. Okay. Play it, Jason.
Yes, you want her.
If you want her.
You know you do.
You know you do.
Possible she wants you to.
Possible she wants you to.
Ask her.
One way to ask her.
It don't take a word not to see.
No words.
Go on and kiss her.
Just kiss her.
So you don't know if she wants you. Just go
you
for
like
it.
Her.
Just
you don't know if it. She likes you, but here's how you find out. Throw yourself on her. Like, I mean, are you kidding me? Anyway, so yeah, maybe we should update that.
But I guess
that.
You find out in a very terrible way.
Jamie,
we do not want to advocate for boys thrusting themselves on girls.
No. I'm having a moment just to let you know, like, I love that movie. And so give me a second.
I do too.
Give me a moment.
But Jamie, in fairness, it's one thing when you hear like a little like anthropomorphic crab talking to like an octopus about it. It's another thing if I'm staring at a girl in church and I'm like, just kiss the girl. Right in the middle of sermon. It's a different scenario. In fairness, and I don't have a shellfish that's telling me to do it. If I do it in the context of, you know, a woman across the aisle of church, yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's bad.
But
it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about context.
So,
yeah.
So they haven't said what the new lyrics will be, but they have told us what verses will be changing. So that's
maybe
one of them.
Maybe it's going to say something like, why don't you ask her if she wants to kiss you? Maybe like that.
Ask her if she wants you to kiss the girl. Yeah. Ask the girl. Yeah.
Probably a good move. Probably.
So it's. Yeah. It has been met with like some backlash because I think like you, Jamie, a lot of people have said like, well, what's wrong with the original? I love it. But it is something when you think about it, it's like, I guess we could maybe make some slight changes. Because like I have two nieces
that are
growing up watching these new movies. And I'm like, I want them to know that they don't have to just accept kisses from boys. They can say no. They can be asked.
And the other song they're updating is not about consent as much as it is like to your nieces. You know, like there's a whole Ursula song where she's trying to manipulate Ariel and she's like saying, like, men up on land love their women they don't speak and they're quiet. And so giving me your voice will actually help you make him love you. And so, like, she's like, telling her and telling little girls that only girls who are quiet and submissive and just listen and don't speak are the ones who are preferred by men. And so that's the other song that's going to get updated.
Mm. Well, but the other thing too, is not like, I mean, I'm not some Disney aficionado, okay, but I do have young kids and Disney Plus, you know, but like, it's not like they've had the greatest track record with consent. I mean, aren't like two of the movies about kissing a girl who's like in some sort of coma?
Yeah
exactly. Oh, isn't that the entire plot of like some of their early films?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, maybe it's good. They're self-correcting here a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. On one hand, it's like, come on, leave, you know, we don't have to like, you know, get PC about everything. But on the other hand, when you actually look at the content, you're like,
I don't think this aged that well.
Yeah, society's like, different. To the point of Sleeping Beauty, the original story is actually much worse than Sleeping. So it actually is darker. So Disney already kind of edited it, and then it's now editing again. Just
I don't know what the original is. Can you expound?
In the original one, it is not just a kiss that wakes her up.
Come on.
Where? What do you mean original? Is this like a book or what?
Is that Hans Christian Andersen?
So this is like 1700. So all of these stories are from original fairy tales from like the 16, 17, 1800s. And a lot of them did have a lot darker ones. So with this point of Little Mermaid, I believe that was Hans Christian Andersen. That one, she actually doesn't get the guy. She ends up as a piece of seaweed living close to the land, like halfway between the halfway between our world and the ocean.
What?
Plot twist. Wow.
Yeah. So like
keep
all
it real, guys.
That's what they should have done for the new one.
She turns into seaweed. Well, people would not like that story though, because it's not a happy end. Because I am letting all know that I do know a lot about fairy tales. They all had like these life lessons.
There's that English major. That English major paying off.
Well, I did take a fairy tales class in college, so that is how I know these.
Is this real quick, Emily? And this isn't any shade because I took a badminton class. Okay, and I'm not comparing the two, but is this the first time that your fairy tale class has served you professionally? Like, were you in fairy tale class?
Waiting
at an accredited liberal arts university in fairy tale class? Like, when am I ever going to use this professionally? Like, when will ever this be of use? Now is that moment, Emily. Now is that moment.
April 14th, 2023. It all paid off. So
this is probably the first time professionally. I had a grad school class where it did come up. It was because I was taking an early modern European history class. And so we were talking about the stories of early modern Europe. And I was the only one in class, shockingly, who had taken a fairy tales class. So I got to talk about it. But professionally, yes, this is the only time it's
going. I wish they offer that as a major, fairy tales.
Oh, my teacher was great. I loved her. I took a lot of really random courses. I kind of made up a couple. I didn't make up my degree. I have an actual degree, but it was journalism. And there's only so many journalism classes you can take. And then for my minor, it was international studies. That one was definitely made up. So I took fairy tales. I took a philosophy and Harry Potter class. That one was probably the most random but specific one. Anyways, all that to say, fairy tales, they all had much, much darker original stories. And so Disney has already cleaned them up.
So there's precedence to cleaning them up and updating them as society evolves. So
And this also is in that Aladdin, the live action Aladdin a couple years ago, that actually had a few lyric changes as well. They're much more subtle, but it happens. People can get over it. We love consent, so we are happy that this conversation is happening.
Yeah. We love consent, guys.
That's a new tagline for the podcast.
Pro consent.
Yeah,
the Relevant Podcast. We love consent. That's our new marketing tagline. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it works.
All right, what else do you have?
The last thing is just a clip from the most recent SNL. The Jonas Brothers were the guests.
The Joe Bros.
And they brought out their own special guest, Kirk Franklin. He led the gospel choir for the song. And then he also grabbed a mic, started singing along with it. And we have a clip here.
Is that Kirk?
No, that's Nick. So yeah, it was just an interesting sort of gospel performance of their new song Walls, which, you know, when you hear Jonas Brothers, you don't always think gospel, but I think they did a great job and it looks like Kirk was having a really fun time.
continuing to set precedents on this episode. This is the first time we've talked about fairy tales. This is the first time we've played the Joe Bros on our show. And the first episode, I believe, in 15 years where the phrase thunder thighs has been uttered multiple times. So
about the Jonas Brothers.
A lot of firsts.
In reference to the Joe Bros.
If you want to check out more of our coverage of what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture, check out relevantmagazine.com every day. All right. Thanks, Emily. Okay, stay tuned. Up next, Leland joins us.
Making little slug, having a feast at the table like
You're listening to Little Dragon. The song is Slugs of Love. It's my high school nickname.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Where our guests today are Leland Mooring and Casey Moore, better known as Leland. They're a Christian rock band who have been around for pushing 2 decades, making some of our favorite worship music. We talked to them about their new album, City of God, and how their music has evolved over the years. Here's our conversation with Leland.
I know y'all have been working on an album that is now out, which how does it feel to finally have the album out?
It feels like, I feel like we're both feeling like emotion at the same time. Like relief, terror, and fear. Like, I hope everyone likes it. And then also just like fulfillment. I think that's probably like the biggest thing. Me and Casey have been talking a lot. I feel like when we made this record, it felt more like an assignment than it did necessarily like making a project. I don't know. What do you think, Casey?
Yeah, same. Really glad it's out. It took forever to come out. We recorded it last year in February, actually. So just over a year ago. And it was one of those things where we thought we were going to do a quick release and put it out in maybe August of that year. And there's, you know, little delays after delays happened, and we're just trying to find the right time. So just really glad it's out. And yes, it's really different than our last record. So there's always the feeling of like, I hope everybody connects with it. You know, it's different, but it's also really inspiring and it's really musical. And I think people are going to really like it.
What is it that's so different from this? You said it felt like an assignment. I kind of want to like dig into what does that mean?
Well, I mean, so Casey and I, we've been best friends now for 13 years. So, and we've been traveling and doing ministry all over the world together in this band and in this group and writing songs and also like creating all sorts of other kinds of music together, like on different side projects and different kind of like side bands and things like that. And I think one of the kind of reoccurring conversations for both Casey and I in the last probably 6 or 7 years has been like on the road, you know, in whether it's like in hotels and trains, planes and airplane, you know, and airplanes and cars, like, we just keep having this consistent conversation between the two of us about about creativity and artistry, and the sort of the value and the difference between what we would call, I guess, corporate worship music, you know, that we, you know, I like to use the word like Levitical worship, or like what the Bible talks about as like Levitical corporate worship. The difference between that and like storytelling artistry, you know, and both of us have a big passion for both, you know, like we're both church guys, you know. The band Leland started actually in a youth group. We were a youth band in like 2004 and 5, writing songs for like 100 kids every Thursday. And it's a whole long miracle story of how like God found us in Baytown, and one relationship after another led to kind of where we, into 2006 when we made our album, Sounded Melodies. And from kind of day one, we've been church guys, but at the same time too, like also very much artists kind of through and through, in terms of like loving to tell stories and push boundaries and all those kinds of things. And it's manifested itself in all sorts of records. But the last, intensely, kind of like the last 6-7 years, especially the last few years, this record, City of God, I feel like is sort of like a direct result of just long conversations Casey and I have been having with one another and some of our close friends that are also in music, that love Jesus, that love the church, about some reforming and reshaping and restructuring and reviving that God's doing in the local church concerning worship and artistry.
I feel like you sort of touched on it, but where did a lot of the inspiration for the songs come from, or was it just kind of random moments?
Well, at least just sonically, I think, like Leland said, there's so many arms to the body of Christ. There's so many different sounds, and we, even with our last record, had kind of been immersed in the really big anthemic, you know, corporate worship sound that we're so used to now, which is awesome. And then I think because we did that, then at least for me, I think for Leland too, but like we kind of did a 180, and almost everything I was listening to, at least sonically, was very different. It was, you know, it was a mixture of like, you know, my favorites, like Fleet Foxes and Bon Iver, and even a lot of alt people that inspire me, that just make beautiful music. And then people like John Mark McMillan, that, you know, he really went off the path creatively and made some really different stuff that kind of, it challenged all of us and it inspired all of us. And so, yeah, listening to a bunch of different music for a couple of years inspired me to kind of dig in here in the studio, and I would kind of just make a track and just, you know, fling paint at the canvas and then bounce it to Leland and our producer Kyle. And yeah, what about you, Lee?
Yeah, dude, I would say like ditto, same thing. Like we, you know, when we made our last record, which was titled Better Word, there was like this kind of like real strong vision for that record, and it was, hey, we want to write songs that, you know, the average, like, you know, 18-year-old leading worship with their youth group can like learn the song really easy. It's like easy to sing at a Bible study. You can sing it like alone with the Lord, but you can sing it, you know, in your house with some friends. You can sing it on Sunday morning. It's just easily sung. And it's kind of more like writing those songs felt more like making these really useful tools and that still bring glory and honor to God and reveal God. But they're useful in the sense that their utility is like, they help. It's easy for a whole room to grab them and sing them to God.
I keep having the same old dream that I'm drowning in a sea.
You know, what is your hope with this album? What do you hope people sort of take away from it and are encouraged by?
I just hope it inspires whoever hears it to you know, be inspired to do whatever they want to do, whatever that thing is unto the Lord, like I was just saying. And I hope it draws anybody that listens closer to the Lord. And there was a lot of stuff that we went through the last couple of years, but I hope that the people that listen to this just find encouragement and love and grace and mercy and whatever they need to find in it.
I would agree with that. I hope that it becomes like maybe like oil, like healing for people when they listen to it, that they don't have to feel like that they could just be with Jesus and just sense the presence of Jesus in their everyday life. And we actually prayed a lot that this record would become kind of like a soundtrack for people. Like they just have it on their car or have it on their house on YouTube, or like if somebody owns a place of business, they would just have it on. Like it's, we know this record isn't necessarily something that you're going to like immediately take every song and lead it at church on Sunday. But we really hope it's also for the individual. And then there's a couple songs you could probably sing at church, but the heart of the album is that it just remind each individual believer that God's with you, that he loves you, and that you do have a calling right now, that although everything seems crazy in the world and although everything seems uncertain, there's still a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God's in her midst and she'll not be moved. You know, that's, you are an ambassador for the city of God everywhere you go.
That was Leland. Make sure to check out their new album, City of God. It's great. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. Listening to Ricky Montgomery, the song is Eraser. Not erase her, but eraser, like you put on your pencil.
Well, Relevant has a lot happening this year, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com, and we'll send you our top five trending stories into your inbox every weekday. We'll also send you a weekly podcast newsletter with the latest episodes, some fan extras, and first peeks at the new shows that we're going to be rolling out throughout this year. Make sure to sign up. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we got going on.
All right. Well, it's time for your feedback. Last week, you know what? Here's the thing about life. It's important that we can admit our mistakes sometimes, you know, and learn from them and grow from them. Apparently last week, we asked a terrible, terrible question of the week because you all did not care. Only like a very few of you replied. It's boring. We're just going to say, you know what, our bad, and move on. So there you go. If you want to know what we're talking about, go listen to last week's episode, I guess. But we're just going to skip last week's feedback, and we're just going to go to this week's
editorial question of the week.
Okay. So earlier in the show, we were talking about Little Mermaid getting updated. We were learning about fairy tales that have been updated. It got us thinking about cultural popular things that people just have enjoyed. They've been successful over the years, and that maybe in the eyes of 2023, if we look at them fresh, maybe they should be updated. You know, like for example, when society collectively figured out that Baby It's Cold Outside is probably not a great Christmas song, you know, like little rapey, you know? So,
I got another one for us. Okay. Hansel and Gretel. Right? And right. I know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the plot revolves around the threat of two children being cooked alive in an oven, right? Pretty disturbing.
Sure.
I'm talking about the bread to the birds. where the breadcrumbs and the crows eat it. You guys remember what I'm talking about? They leave a trail.
Yeah, so you find the way back.
That's where we get the thing of leave a trail of breadcrumbs, you know? Did you know that feeding bread to birds is actually very, very bad for their digestive system?
It
is irresistible to them. It is irresistible to birds. They will, if you throw down a piece of bread to a duck, that duck's going to eat that thing, okay? They cannot resist. They love their carbs. Do you know it wrecks them internally? You're not supposed to do it. And that story...
Listen, a lot of Americans also have a gluten intolerance too, so...
See?
And that story taught us a bad, problematic lesson. Yes, I don't agree with the threat of cooking children alive in a witch's oven.
Thank you.
Okay? That hasn't aged that great either. But the breadcrumb things, people are still feeding bread to birds. And I blame it all the way back to that story.
If you were going to rewrite it, Jesse, what are they leaving?
Rocks. Well, trail of rocks.
Well, they did at one point. But the only thing that will work plot-wise, if for some reason they had... store-bought species-specific bird seed that was approved by, you know, the Audubon Society, and they would leave those for their trail. That would be the politically and socially correct thing.
Jay. Here's the thing. If they're leaving things that the birds are going to eat, how are they going to find their way back?
But they didn't think that through. That was the whole thing. It's like
The only way the story works is for some reason Hansel and Gretel are walking around with bird seeds. And the whole story falls apart. And so I just think there's a lot that we need to revisit. That's all.
Mine for me is not like a revisiting and remaking, but when I was younger, I knew every word to the movie Grease and watched it nonstop. And then I got older and I was like, okay, wow, that was a lot for a little kid to be singing about and unknowing and all the things because it's adult material. Here.
Yeah.
I don't say we need to remake it. I'm just saying it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, wow, I was really singing along to some scandalous things.
Well, not only that, they're like 35 years old in that film playing high schoolers. Yes. Like John Travolta looks older than I do now in that movie. And he's like smoking cigarettes and a hot rod.
Right.
It's like, wait, that's the heartthrob? Yep. That is a grown man.
I was saying, Jamie, to your point, like when I was a little kid, I knew all the lyrics to the Humpty Dance by Digital Underground.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I figured out that when he was referencing getting busy in a Burger King bathroom, he wasn't talking about doing a chore. Mm-hmm. He was.
Oh, there's so much to that.
I knew that it was bad. That's why I liked it when I was a kid. Anyway.
I think I'm similar. I know I've talked about this before. My parents didn't necessarily care what we watched as kids. So
that's Jesse too, right?
That's Jesse too.
Oh yeah. They didn't care at all.
So I watched Friends while it was still on the air. I was 5, 6, 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I was very young. And so I remember watching it and noticing when my parents would laugh at things that I didn't necessarily think were funny, but they would laugh at a joke and I would think, oh, okay, that was funny, but I didn't quite get it. So I'm actually rewatching Friends now because I'm like the age that they were when they were like on the show. So I just kind of wanted to see like, I mean, I've watched episodes over the year, but I just have been rewatching it. And there are a lot of jokes I definitely did not get as a child for good reason. And now I get, and I'm like, oh, now I know my parents were laughing at that because that is actually a very funny joke. So it's funny to like think back on like, I remember thinking this show was funny, but now I realize why it's funny.
I've never heard anybody refer to Friends as having very funny jokes. That's interesting to me.
Oh, you didn't like Friends. Funny.
I think Friends gets a lot of hate and I don't think it's necessarily aged well.
Actually funny though.
I think literally millions of people would disagree with you.
No, entertaining, popular. I get it. You like the characters and stuff, but funny. I don't know.
There's different sensibilities. I mean, look,
humor is subjective.
CBS has been the number one name in comedy for a long time, and I'm not saying Friends at the level. I'm just saying, listen, popular sensibilities in comedy it's a wide spectrum. You know what I mean?
That's like, true. You're right.
It's arguably one of the most popular situational comedies of all time. You know, even it's not my taste, but I understand the appeal, even if I don't. You know, even though it doesn't necessarily appeal to me, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, I got you. All right. So hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. If you can find us, because everybody's losing their check marks, you know, so we're one of the accounts. Hopefully you replied to the right one. Anyway, hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. Tell us songs, movies, TV shows, things that if you were to look back at them with fresh eyes, maybe were more problematic than you realized. And we'll read our favorites on next week's show. I promise we will read your feedback on next week's show. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Leland for joining us. Make sure to check out their new album, City of God. It's available wherever you get your music. Also, before we wrap it, make sure to head over to relevantmagazine.com and check out our spring issue. Features Michael B. Jordan on the cover. We talked to Fitz and the Tantrums, Colony House, Beth Moore. We have some great pieces. It's available for free. Just click on the magazine tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. It's all there. The ad-supported experiences. If you want a beautifully designed, digitally enhanced, it's just elevated. It's wonderful. Ad-free experience. You should sign up for Relevant Plus, and you get our enhanced digital issue as part of that membership. You also get ad-free unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com and ad-free versions of this podcast and an exclusive subscriber podcast every week as well. Plans start as low as $2.50 a month, and it is the best way to experience our content. You can find out more about Relevant Plus right there by clicking the R Plus tab at relevantmagazine.com. Also, while you're at the site, make sure to sign up for our newsletter. You can get our top five trending stories sent to you every weekday morning. It's a great way to stay in touch with what we're covering. We put everything out on social media and stuff, but you know how the algorithm works. It is so easy to miss some great content. So why not get our best content delivered to your inbox every morning? That's right there. It's on an article page. You can sign up right there on the sidebar on the right, or it's right there on our homepage as well. Okay, on that note, we will wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Lay off, old man. I pay $9 for this.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.